Hey, thank you for the season and, Lord, the joy and the hope that we have because you came so many years ago. And, Lord, as we continue to celebrate that this morning, we pray for Miss Holly and the Cooksey family, Lord, their families. Pray that your grace and strength would be with them. Lord, let them know your peace and care today and in the coming days. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Good to see you this morning. I hope everybody had a good Christmas. And we've got several out this morning because of the holidays, traveling, and various things. Remember, Miss Holly's family in your prayers. Her father passed away late last night. And so they're in Iuka, is that where it is? Pora, Iuka, same difference. Some crazy sounding town in Mississippi. Eupora, I think they're different directions, aren't they? Are they? I don't even know. I thought. That's what I thought. Anyway. Remember their family in your prayers, and you pray for Brother Carl, and Adam and Laura are recovering from the flu, so pray for them as well. And remember, Wednesday night, we will not have services this Wednesday, but next Wednesday we will, and so remember that. We're going to be going through Rob Morgan's book, Mastering Life, before, I think the subtitle is Before It Masters You, or something like that, but it's an excellent book, and some good practical, biblical things about how we live a life that honors Christ. And you can order the copy of that book from Amazon, or it's on sale at Amazon. I always like to find things when they're on sale. And so you can order it online, or you can get it at the bookstore. Probably can even find it at Walmart. So, or it's available on your Kindle. If you got a Kindle or an iPad or some kind of tablet for Christmas, why, it's available in ebooks as well. So, if you have your Bibles this morning, I invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 13 through 23 this morning to remind us chapter 2 is where the wise men come to visit Jesus from the east. And you remember that they had gone to Herod, which is, you know, where you would expect to go. If there was a new king born, where would you expect to be born? Capital city, right? And in the palace, because that's where the king lives. And future kings come from the present king. And so that was, and so they had come, and Herod said, hey, listen, when you find him, come and let me know where he's at, because I want to come worship him too. Well, of course, that was not his intent. And that's where we'll pick up. So Leslie and I flew to South Dakota last week for Christmas. We left Sunday last week right after church. And of course, you know, you go through the airport and the long line of security. Thankfully, Jackson, the line's not too terribly long, but it's a line nonetheless. And they tell you, you know, empty everything out of your pockets, take all your metal off, and, you know, put your coat in one bin, and take your electronics out, put them in another bin, take your shoes off, and all that kind of stuff. But it seems like in every line, no matter where it is, it happened in Sioux Falls too, there's always somebody that can't follow the rules. There's always somebody that doesn't want to, you know, you're only supposed to have a little bag of liquids And it's supposed to be in a clear plastic bag, and you got to take it out as well. There's always somebody that tries to, get more on than they're supposed to, or they don't take it out of the bag, or it's astounding the number of guns and knives that the TSA finds every year because people don't know that they're not supposed to put that in their bags. And it's just human nature. We don't like following directions. Most of the time, we're not very good at it, and because we like to be in charge, don't we? We like to call the shots, and we like to do things our way. Well, Matthew chapter 2 reminds us that it's always best to do things God's way. To trust and obey God wins every time. And so that's where we pick up the story in Matthew chapter 2. Beginning in verse 13. It says, "Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, 'Arise, take the young child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him.' And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, 'Out of Egypt I called my son.' Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry. And he sent forth and put to death all of the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all of its districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, 'A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more.' Now when Herod was dead, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, 'Arise, take the young child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead.' And then he arose and took the young child and his mother and came to the land of Israel. But when he had heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, 'He shall be called a Nazarene.'" And so a lot of amazing things that we find here in the story about the flight of Joseph and his family to Egypt. And it raises a lot of questions as well. And so maybe we'll try to address a couple of those this morning. But we find God's providence and care throughout this story. We understand that God knows everything. He's all-knowing. He knows what the future holds. He knows what the past holds. And more important, He knows what the future holds. He knows all about us. He knows the good, the bad, and the ugly. And yet He loves us. So often we try to hide things from God, but we need to realize He knows everything. We can't possibly hide anything from Him. Just like Mom always seemed to know when we had done something we weren't supposed to, somehow Mom always knew. God knows not just what our actions are. The Bible says God knows the intents of our heart. He knows our thoughts as well as our actions. So I think that we find here in the story, the first thing I want us to recognize this morning is that trust and obedience are choices. A lot of people made choices in this passage of Scripture that we read this morning. Remember, coming to Israel to worship the Christ child was a choice the wise men made. We talked about that some last week. Now, though, Joseph has a choice to make. God came and spoke to him and said, "Listen, there's trouble coming. Go to Egypt." he got up and he took his family to Egypt. Now, you've got a toddler in the house. Life is hectic and chaotic. You might just picking up, and probably Mary wasn't too happy when Joseph gave the word. Say, hey, listen, back your stuff up. We're moving to Egypt for a while. But off they went. They had a choice to make. Herod also had a choice to make. Unfortunately, Herod made the wrong choice. He made a bad choice. Though God is sovereign and he knows all and he's all powerful, he allows us as human beings to make choices. And by the way, we're accountable for the choices that we make. And we reap consequences, either good or bad consequences, for the choices that we make. Herod certainly knew that taking the lives of innocent children was wrong, and yet he did it. And by the way, it's interesting that that's not just in the Bible, there are extra-biblical accounts of that. There are non-biblical, in other words, from recorded history, secular history, that record that Herod made that decree and that, thousands of babies were murdered. So we have the free will to choose to do right or wrong. We choose. God also makes the choice. He makes the choice to allow us to choose. Sometimes that's hard. Probably one of the hardest lessons that parents have to learn is letting their children make choices and decisions and mistakes for themselves. Naturally, parents, they love their children, don't they? And because you love them, you don't want to see them make the wrong choice. But part of loving your child and being a parent is letting your children make mistakes and choices for themselves. And sometimes they make the wrong ones. Does that mean do parents stop loving their children because they make wrong? No. They still love their children. Do they want them to make the wrong choice? No. It hurts them to see their kids and their loved ones making, oftentimes destructive and just dumb decisions that, you say, you should have known better. And yet you still love them, but God is that way, that he allows us to make our choices. And by the way, he doesn't have to figure things out. He knows everything already. He knows what's in man's heart. He knows the pride that we have and the arrogance and the lengths that we'll go through to keep power or to gain power. People throughout history have done unspeakable and unimaginable evil things to either get power or to keep their power. But the story here of the flight of Joseph and Mary to Egypt and remind us that we have the ability to choose, and trusting and obeying God are choices. We all know, there's been times in our life where we have not trusted God or we've not obeyed God. And so we know full well that even as Christians, we can disobey God. Now, just as when we're children, it's never best to disobey your parents. There's always consequences that come when you disobey. Sometimes we do it anyway, don't we? It's always best to trust that God knows what's best for us and wants what's best for us and do what he tells us to do. The angel didn't really explain all the full story. He just said, listen, go into Egypt and stay there until I bring you word. For Herod seeks to destroy your son. He's going to be after him. Well, probably for most fathers, that the instinct is not to run, it's to fight. He said, "All right, Herod thinks he's going to take my child, I'll show him a thing or two." And I'm sure that's what Joseph's natural instinct was, because he was a man. Just like we are. And all of that would have been our first instinct, is to protect our loved ones. But he had received direction from the Lord. And there's something as we look over Joseph's life, just a little bit. We don't know much about Joseph's life. We don't know how it ended. All we know is this little kind of mini-series segment from Jesus' early life until he was a teenager, and then he drops off the scene. But one thing we do know about Joseph was he was a faithful, God-fearing man. And he was a just man. You remember Luke tells us that when he discovered that Mary was pregnant, that he loved her and intended to divorce her, to cancel this marriage. And the angel of the Lord came to him and said, "Don't do what's in your heart to do. For the child that Mary has conceived is of the Holy Spirit." And what did he do? Exactly what the angel told him to do. He took care of Mary. They went off to Bethlehem for the census. He cared for her, took care of her, took care of his son. And so he was an honest and a just man. And that scene in his trust and obedience to God, even when it's difficult. It seems to me, and perhaps to you as well, that when we are serving the Lord and when we're trying to be obedient to the Lord, it should be easy. It should be easy to do what's right. But we all know sometimes it's mighty hard to do what's right. Sometimes we think we could get away with cutting corners or doing things our way, or, you know, maybe quicker, or amending what God's recipe, changing what He's told us to do just a little bit to make it easier or to fit our plan. And it never works out, does it? But when we do what God says, because God has chosen and God has proven Himself over and over and over again to be faithful, He's shown us that He knows what's best. The Scriptures had proclaimed that there'd be great weeping in Bethlehem and in that region because of the loss of children. So God knew that it was going to happen, but by the way, that does not mean that God caused it to happen. He didn't. What caused that to happen? The sinful choice of a fallen human being named Herod. God didn't do that. Herod did that. He made the choice. And most of the evil and the things that are so wrong with our world are not God's doing. It's man's doing. Now, God does sometimes bring things upon us as punishment, as we know from God's Word. He does do that. Hebrews 6 tells us that who God loves, He corrects and disciplines, He chastens. And yet, most of the junk and the mess that's going on in our world is not because God has caused it, not because God created it. It's the result of sin. And God chooses to allow us, because He loves us, to make the choice to either live in sin or to make the choice to follow Him. But then something else about trust and obedience, not only is it a choice, but it recognizes, secondly, God's care for us. God will not lead us where God's grace will not keep us. He goes with us through all the detours of life, just as He was with Joseph and Mary and Jesus in Egypt. God knows what's best for our life. He cares. He provides for us. He protects us. God gives us strength to get through the tough times of life. We could look at hundreds of examples through the Bible, through the Old Testament and the New Testament, of times when God gave supernatural care to His people. Why? Because God cares for us. In fact, Jesus said, you know what? Those little swallow birds, those itty-bitty, chirpy, nuisance birds, not one of them falls to the ground and God doesn't know about it. How much more valuable are you than a swallow? That Jesus said in that same sermon, even the very number of hairs that are on your head, God knows. In other words, God cares for us. And when we trust Him and obey Him, it recognizes that God cares for us. You don't obey somebody that doesn't care for you and trust you. Even though it's sometimes difficult to trust and sometimes difficult to obey, when somebody that cares for us gives us an instruction we listen. And so when God gives us instructions like, hey, get up, pack a bag, and head to Egypt, we do. Not because we don't say, well, I don't know about that. We've got things to plan. We've got business that we've got to set in order first. Joseph didn't do any of that. He got up and because he knew if God was telling him to go, there was a reason. And then we also see his trust and obedience and understanding and dependence upon God's care at the end of the story when the angel comes, Herod's dead. And so the angel says, hey, arise and take the young child back, for Herod's dead and you're not in danger anymore. Well, Matthew records for us that they did that. But look at verse 20. He says, when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father, in other words, he heard that Archelaus, who was Herod's son, was ruler, he was afraid. Why? Because if your dad's dead, and Joseph thought, well, the son's going to blame me for that and not going to be very happy with me, or maybe he's going to do the same thing. He went. He still went, even though he was afraid. And God said, go into the region of Galilee. And he did. And he dwelt in the little common city called Nazareth. And so truth and obedience shows and helps us recognize God's care for us. But then there's something else that we need to realize and that we can celebrate at the end of the story, and that trust obedience remembers God's conquest. And conquest is, what I want us to see is that God ultimately has the last word. He is the one. Though Herod thought that he could give life and take life freely and do what he wanted, his very life was taken from him. And Herod stood before God and found that he was not the Almighty. But he did meet the Almighty and stood before him in judgment for the choices that he had made. though it had seemed, and you can unquestionably, you know, if you were a mother of one of those children that was murdered, you had loss, you were sad, understandably had a lot of questions, and you felt, you know what, it's just not worth it. I guess God is not there. And yet God shows up and shows that He is there, and He does have the final say. We see that not only in Matthew chapter 2, but we find it in Revelation, don't we? You see, we have the end of the story and we know who wins. And though Satan, the prince of this world of darkness and of evil, thinks that he is winning, and there's days it seems like he is, the truth of the matter is the day will come when God has the final say. And He has the ultimate victory. God provides us for us and gives us victory all through the detours and missteps. And God uses the small and the insignificant things of life to show how great and powerful He is. God delivers us from our sin and from our despair, but only if we let Him. God doesn't force salvation on anybody, does He? But if you trust the Lord and you give your life to Him, you receive that free gift, God claims you as one of His own. He makes you new. He says, now you're a child of the King. You know, sometimes as we're going through detours and difficulties and we're wondering, why, God? But when we get through the end and we can look back on those things, we see God was using those detours and those difficulties and those things to mold our life and to teach us things. So think of the great proverb, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You probably know it well. If not, it's a good one to commit to memory. This is what it says. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. So as we finish this morning, and we realize this concept that trusting and obeying wins, it's always best to trust and obey God and what He tells us. To know that God is always with us, that He sticks closer than a brother, that He never leaves us, never forsakes us, and that He wants what's best for us. And so when He gives us direction, it's not because He wants to hurt us, it's not because He wants to deprive us, it's not because He wants us to take away all our fun, and it's none of that. It's because He wants what's best for us. And so this great proverb reminds us that when we trust in the Lord, not in ourselves and not in our own understanding, God directs our path. Now, the way that God directs our path is not always straight, and it's not always level. Sometimes it's uphill. Sometimes there's rockiness. Sometimes there's ice and U-turns and... Yet through all of that, God is with us. God proves Himself to be faithful. God wins every time. And when we trust and obey God, we win every time, even though sometimes it may not seem like it. But when the end comes, we realize and we look back and say, you know what? It really is best to trust and obey the Lord, and know that He knows what's best for us, and He wants what's best for us. So I hope God will remember that, remind us of that, and that we'll live that important truth out in our lives. So let's stand together, and we'll be dismissed for Sunday school this morning, and again, remember the Cooksey family, and those that are sick, those that are recovering from illnesses, and I'd mentioned the Thigpen several times in prayer. Dr. Thigpen's still in the hospital doing well. Miss Laura Thigpen, his wife, is now in the hospital with pneumonia, and she's getting worse. So please remember Miss Laura Thigpen as well. Others that are suffering from COVID and the flu and all the other things that we're dealing with this time of year. Brother George, would you dismiss us this morning?